Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. So how do you turn a pie chart or a graph into sound? And really, why would you want to? Well, NASA did. They found that astronauts floating around in space have limited vision and a warped sense of spatial awareness. Visual data, like a graph or a chart, just won't do in a lot of those circumstances. So one solution is something called sonification. It was developed in the 1990s by the Georgia Institute of Technology. And sonification uses patterns in sound that can let astronauts determine time and space measurements. There are sonification models of the solar system of individual planets, maybe not of huge practical use to astronauts yet, but data sonification is now a full-fledged academic field with a growing number of daily uses. John Hockenberry spoke with Brian Fu, who is pushing the boundaries of sonification. He's an application developer for the New York Public Library Labs, and when Fu was faced with the limits of sterile pie charts and graphs, he turned to sound and to music.
I think there's always something missing to, like, say, like a chart or a data visualization. Something like music has inherent ambiguity and emotive quality to it, and it gives you a visceral response.
And it's great with relationships, sound.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could see where sound is already used, you know, like a Geiger counter or like a heart rate monitor, things that are relatively simple. But
no, people think that Geiger counter sound is radiation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how powerful it is.
Yeah, so I think it gets tricky when you think about more complex data sets. Like, that's a very simple, single-dimension piece of data. But what was interesting to me in terms of combining data and music is kind of force you to think about what should the listener's visceral reaction be to this data set, because whether I like it or not, they will get a visceral reaction to music. If you don't get it, just listen to this. So this song is actually kind of a simulation of somebody taking a ride on the 2 train, a train that goes from Brooklyn through Manhattan to the Bronx. The instrumentation that you hear at any given point in the song correlates to the median household income of the neighborhood that you're passing through. So that's actually 2 dimensions, the latitude and longitude. So I needed to move through that data in a very particular way. So I chose the New York City subway, something I think a lot of New Yorkers can connect to. So if the song becomes louder, that means that the neighborhood that you're passing through has a higher median household income. If it's quieter, then it has a lower median household income.
We're in Manhattan right now.
Yeah, yeah. So this point in the song is you are entering Manhattan. You're in Wall Street right now, and it's loud.
Oh, yeah.
It's loud. It's pompous.
Can't afford the rent here.
The median household income is over $200,000. We're moving uptown. I think we're like in Midtown area.
Midtown, okay.
It's still going to sustain its loudness a bit. It's going to taper off as you get closer and closer to Harlem. That's actually where my stop is in 125th Street.
And you didn't write this song. You just inputted the numbers and the algorithm put the sound together.
Correct. So my creative input is figuring out how to map the data to the sound. So it is the algorithm is my creative contribution to this.
All right, so it's getting really quiet here.
From here on out, it's going to get quieter and quieter, especially when you get all the way up to East Bronx. That's about 15 times less the median household income of the highest point, which is in the financial district. So we're talking a difference between $200,000, over $200,000, to under $15,000. And that's in a span of like 3 miles, which is pretty incredible.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I have such a clear visual sense of entering the Bronx, and to add this sound to it really enriches it.
Yeah, and I think that's some of the better feedback that I got from this is people who actually take the 2 train, they're like, I know exactly where that stop is. You know, I have like a high school teacher in the Bronx who was telling me that, yeah, I take that train all the time, and I know exactly where in the song, you know, we get off.
Now, why would the New York Public Library be interested in this?
I think in terms of the importance of having open access to information, and in this case, data sets, you know, we need to think about what are the new ways in which people generate knowledge or access information. For me as a creative person, like I want data, I want information, and I want to create new things with that.
Well, let's hear another example here.
Sure.
feels like I'm in New Orleans, but
yes, that's correct. That's
no
kidding. The Rebirth Brass Band, a well-known band in New Orleans. This song represents coastal regression in Louisiana. So this song is actually kind of slowly drowning, so to speak.
We're listening to sea level rise.
Correct. Sea level rise over a pretty long period of time.
Is loud drowning or is soft drowning? What's the dynamic?
Yeah, so it's less about loud and soft. In this case, I have very particular sound samples that I just slowly stretch out and distort based on how much sea level rise there is. So it's almost thinking about, like, you know, instrumentation, like almost kind of just getting slowly and slowly involved with water. I have an impulse to make pretty sounding music, but at the same time, when you're dealing with certain issues, like, how should the listener be feeling? Like, in this case, like, they should probably feel a little uncomfortable about it, or they should feel a little anxious that this is kind of an immediate thing that you should think about. And the other good thing about music is that, you know, it gets stuck in your head, so...
That's exactly right. I mean, yeah. It's very memorable. What applications are you excited about trying in the future?
I think this data sonification or data songification, what I do, might be appropriate for, again, like kind of real-time data, something that you could kind of just passively listen to. You could maybe think about, like, you know, using very smart devices in the house, so to, like, kind of listen to your energy usage as you go about your day.
So you come into a room and you can hear by some high-pitched sound or something that who's got all the equipment on? Unplug some stuff. Whereas if it's visual, if you're not looking at it, it's not happening.
Correct. And ideally, I think the creative aspect of it is trying to make it, like, pleasing. Like, you don't want to have this high-pitched thing kind of on all the time. But yeah, kind of like integrating into, you know, something that you'd be actually interested in kind of hearing.
Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
John Hockenberry speaking to Brian Fu there, an application developer for the New York Public Library Labs.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.